I pray for you? Father, thank you that you have words for us. You never are short of words to speak to us. It's usually our problem to listen, but you speak to us. We pray that you speak to us through Chris. We thank you for him. We thank you for the time that he's put you to prepare. We just want to listen and receive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks. Merci. Can you hear me? Is it on?
Yes.
It is, good. There was an old man who lived in the desert. Oh, by the way, wow. Thank you, you fantastic worship group. Go. Yes. Great. In that last wonderful prophetic, you know, I just sat there and I said, tears. God, thank you, Lord. Bless you. God. Anyway, back to the desert. There's an old man lived in the desert, and he had three sons. And the time came when he died. And he was a poor man, but he did have 17 camels. And when he died, they looked at his will, and in his will, he left his camels. And he said, I leave my 17 camels to my three sons. I leave half of them to my eldest son. I leave a third of them to my middle son, and a ninth of them to my youngest son. And they try to work this out. How can a third, half a third and a ninth, go into 17 camels? And they couldn't work it out. So they went to see their uncle, see if he could help them. He said, yes, that's quite easy. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I've got my one camel. I'll lend you my camel. That will be 18 camels. So then half of 18 is 9. A third of 18 is 6. And a ninth of 18 is 2. So 9, 6, and 2, if you add them together, is 17. So there you are, you've got the right number. You say you've got one over, so you can give the camel back to me, then I'll let you. That has nothing to do at all with what I'm going to say. But I thought, just in case you got a bit bored in the next 20 minutes, that'll give you something to work out. Let's just have a, see if I can get this gizmo out. Turn it on. Yes. Am I doing it the right way? I know it's on. Aha. Good. There we go. Let's read that. Actually, it's not a simple, but a very short statement from Jesus. This is what he says. With the measure you use, I'm going to read it very slowly. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. That sounds a bit unfair, doesn't it? Sounds a bit... Surely the guy with lots should be giving to the one who has little or nothing. But no. The one who has little or nothing loses even what he's got, and the guy who's got has more. How can that be? God has put us on this planet for one prime reason only. It's in the scriptures. Do you know what that is? One prime reason only. Come on, any ideas? God's put us on this planet for one prime reason and one only. Well, that's good, but I'm not sure it's a prime one. Love him, will you? Yes. Haven't quite got there. They're all very good. Well, yes, very good. Getting even better. No, we still haven't got it. What does it say in Romans, that wonderful chapter, Romans 8? In verse 29 it says, for whom God foreknew, he also predestined that they might be conformed to the likeness of his son. And St. Paul says just the same in Ephesians. He says he's put various ministries in Ephesians 4, he's put various ministries in the church in order that the church might become mature. and grow to the fullness of the whole stature of Christ. That's what he's put us here for. All the rest of the wonderful things, the glorifying him, the worshipping him, and especially the speaking about him to others, all that follows. But what he's actually wants us to do, he wants this to be heaven on earth, which is very much what we sung about. And it's you and me who are going to be heaven on earth. So how do we become mature? How do we become more like Jesus? How do we grow in spiritual maturity? There are two important principles, two important facts that we've got to know, first of all, before we can even begin to answer that. The first is this. We are never spiritually static in our lives. We are either growing to be more like Jesus, or we're shrinking to be less like him. We can never be static, not for a day, not for an hour, not for a minute. We are always changing. We're changing to be more like him, or we're changing to be less like him. But we are never static. The spiritual life is never a static life. And it's determined by the choices that we make. Whether we grow more like Jesus or less like him is determined by the choices we make daily, hourly, minutely, and in fact the next choice that we make right now in what we think, in how we react, in what we think, in what we say, in what we do. And every single action in thought, word, and deed that we take or don't take, we become more or less like Jesus. So that's the first principle that we have to grasp in order to understand how we begin even to grow like him. We're not spiritually static. The second is that we are one entity, we are one entirety, mind, body, and spirit. We're supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be indivisible. We're all one. And you know, if one part of us, mind or body or spirit, is not working properly, it's going to affect the rest. We need, most cars have four or six cylinders if you're very rich, but you know, we don't have three cylinders, but in God's spiritual life we do. We are an entirety of mind, body and spirit together. The Jews knew this. They would thank God for their physical life as much as their spiritual life. It was basic Jewish thought, but it was superimposed by Greek and Western philosophy that then said is called Hellenistic dualism. What the Greeks taught and what we in the West have sort of taken on board in all these years is spiritual good, physical bad. But that's not how God made us. When he made us, he made us mind, body and spirit. And what did he say? He looked at it and said, it is good, it is very good. And that's what he still says to us, mind, body, and spirit. So we are inextricable. My body and my mind and my spirit. My body and my mind are as spiritual as my spirit. Do you get that? Let's say it together. My body and my mind are as spiritual as my spirit. Because we need to understand this before we go on. Okay, my body and my mind are as... My body and my mind are as spiritual as my spirit. Why? Because he looked at us, he's made us, and said, it is good, it is very good. Okay, so how does this work? How do we become spiritually mature? In our brain is made up of 40 billion neurons, brain cells, and each one of those 40 billion are connected with neural pathways. They're all interconnected. And we're this wonderful creation of this whole buzzing network of neurons being connected by a whole load of other neural pathways. And it's only relatively recently, in about the last 10 years, that actually there have been scientific instruments which can actually measure the strength of neural pathways. Somehow they can take an X-ray, is too simple an explanation, but they can measure the strength of any neural pathway. So the more we think, the more we say, the more we do the same thing, the stronger that neural pathway becomes. You see, so repeated action, repeated thought, repeated words, they strengthen the neural pathway. Actually, it can be measured so much that if you see it on a screen or a television screen, actually that's a really strong, flashing neural pathway there, quite strong and thick. And it's a bit like, especially at this time of year, if we're walking through a cornfield, we get over the fence and we walk straight across the cornfield and we look back, we can't really see too much where we've gone. But if we do the same thing the next day, we might have just a little idea about the route that we've taken. But if you do that for a week, we will have worn a path through the cornfield, won't we? And we'll know exactly where. It's a bit like that with neural pathways. But it's the same thing with the opposite. If, for instance, we are somebody says, come along to my house, and it's, say, 10, 15 miles away, we haven't been there before, we might need a sat-nav, we might need a map, and we look at the signpost, we eventually get there. And as we're doing that, we're building a new neural pathway from our house to their house. And then if we went there again the next week or the next month, we'd still perhaps need a sat-nav a bit, or we might need to look at a few signposts, but we would get there slightly easier. By the time we've done it 3 or 4 times, we don't need to look at a sat-nav because we've built a neural pathway. And that's the sort of way that it works. But if then we haven't been to that house, say, for a year, 2 years, my sister Beth is here, and her husband Brian, they live in New Zealand. They just come over for a few months, and they're staying with us right now. And so we thought yesterday we'd go for a walk in Westcott near Dorking, where we used to live. I won't tell you how many years ago, but many, many, many years ago. And we thought we'd go and look at the old house and go do some old walks. And we weren't quite sure which, do turn left or do turn right, and we had to have a map, because that neural pathway that was so very vivid 79 years ago was was no longer there. You see, if we starve that neural pathway, eventually it'll get thinner and thinner and thinner, and it'll just, as it were, snap and die. So from this, we can deduce a very important spiritual principle. What we feed grows. What we starve dies. That is so in our bodies, it's so in our minds, and it is so par excellence in our spirits. What we feed grows, what we starve dies. You see, we can feed our spirit with all the things that God offers us, and we can become more like Jesus. Or we can starve these things that contribute to our becoming more like Jesus, simply through inaction, which is why Jesus said, whatsoever you use. Or we can starve physical, spiritual growth, and we can feed sin. See, it works in both ways. We can feed spiritual growth, or we can starve spiritual growth, but we can feed sin and become less like Jesus, or we can starve sin and become more like Jesus. You see how it works. As I say, we're always feeding or starving, whatever choice that we make, from second to second to second. So what Jesus is saying here, see if I can go back. What Jesus is saying here is that the more we know and obey God faithfully and pursue Jesus passionately, which of course we all remember because that's Farm and Vineyard's goal, the more we do that, the more what we're doing, the stronger and the greater our capacity is to do that more. Why? Because the more that we have, the more that he'll give us. Why? Because our capacity is that much greater. Why? Because God looks on the heart. That's the whole principle of the way that God looks at the whole world. God looks on the heart. And he sees that because we are feeding to him, he's going to give us more. He can entrust us with more. He delights to give us more, and our capacity is that much more in mind and spirit. That's why he said, with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you, and even more. with the measure you use, as I just said, because we need to do something, don't we? If we're going to spiritually grow, we can't just sit there and say, well, I'm going to grow spiritually and I'm here if God wants me. You know, so, and we don't get, he says, but what you use, we have to do something. If we're going to spiritually grow, we have to do something. And actually, if we're going to starve sin, we've got to not do something in thought, word, and deed. But the reverse is equally true. You see, he says this, whoever, as it were, doesn't bother to do anything to grow in spiritual maturity, even the little that he had, will be taken from him. Why? Because we're starving to the Holy Spirit. We're starving that growth. We're starving our souls. And eventually, it's possible that that neural pathway will become so small it will snap. So here's a question. What are we allowing to take root in our lives? Because every decision we make will put that root down further. Here are some negative roots. Spiritual idleness, I just referred to that. Unforgiveness, criticism, anger, unreliability, pride, resentment, habitual sin, or any, you know, secret sin, or any habit. You see, what is a habit? It is simply the ever strengthening of a neural pathway. So habits, however small they may appear to us, little or no prayer or Bible study, fear of taking a new step in faith that we never take before. That's where God works. You know, faith works when we're at the edge of our comfort zone. You know, trying some new spiritual gift that we've never tried before, or taking some move in faith, you're speaking to somebody about Christ, or whatever it is. God doesn't work in our comfort zone. He works right on the edge, and he always works there. And if we don't do that, then we're, and he gives us an opportunity. See, this is the whole thing. If we don't do this, then God will not give us so many opportunities to do it, say to speak to somebody about the Lord. If we don't take the opportunity he gives us, he's not going to give us many more. But conversely, I'm sure some of you have found, I've certainly found over my life, that the more we do take the opportunities he gives us, the more we do take opportunities, the more opportunities he gives us. It happens to me all the time. I know it happens to some of you. It happens to you, doesn't it, Jess? Yeah. That's how it works, because he entrusts us with more. And life then becomes the most wonderful, walk with Christ. We're taking opportunity after opportunity as he lays them before us. Oh, what a glory. Why? Because we're feeding this neural pathway of taking opportunities. See, all those negative roots that I just talked to you about, actually, they start in the mind. If you think of it, Satan's battleground is the mind. And you see, it's exactly in these neural pathways where Satan works. You see, if you think of it, neurons and neural pathways are the very interface between the physical, because they're physical neurons and neural pathways, they can be measured, and the spiritual potential assault by the enemy. It's here, it's actually there and can be measured. So what we must not do is let Satan hijack our neural pathways. You see how the physical just absolutely matches with the spiritual. It has to happen somewhere, and it happens right there. And whatever opportunity we give the enemy to hijack our neural pathways, he will take it instantly. That is why our choices have to be instant. I'll say this, no, I won't say, I'll look at that, no, I won't look at that. And we instantly make that choice. Okay, that's the bad news. Now, here's the good news. This spiritual principle gloriously works in the positive too, as I've just been saying in a different way. We can choose not to sin, but at the same time we can choose to build these neural pathways and build who we are. You see, What we think and what we say and what we do is actually what we become. And it becomes us. It becomes our lifestyle, and therefore it becomes us. That's why King Solomon, in all his wisdom, in Proverbs 23 says, what a man thinks in his heart, so is he, or a woman. What a person thinks in their heart, so are they. That's what they are. That's why it's so important that we don't let Satan hijack these neurons, and so important that we use this spiritual opportunity, the spiritual gift of being like him that we've got. And the more we feed this, the deeper that root grows. And every time we starve those negative things, we're literally weakening a track until eventually it'll disappear. You probably know, but research has found that you can break a habit within 8 weeks. Why? Because you can break a neural pathway within 8 weeks of not doing that thing. Isn't that wonderful? We can become new people within 56 days. Behold, I make all things new. That's what he's doing to us the whole time. And it's a cooperation with him. Isn't that wonderful? What potential there is there for us to do just that. Every time we choose to be happy, every time we choose not to say that thing or think that thing about it, every time we choose to forgive, every time we choose to launch out in faith, every time we choose to make some loving act or say some loving word, every time we choose to think positively about ourselves, to think as positively about ourselves as he does. Because he looks at us and says, it is good, she is good, he is good, very good. But we don't say that to ourselves all that much, do we? And he longs that we should. He longs that we should revel in his love for us and in the beauty that we each are. So let's take a better view. Don't let Satan hijack that neural pathway. And each time we do that, it's becoming stronger and stronger each time, and the easier it gets. And then we're going to be growing. We're going to be growing roots so deeply that we will become this new creation. So I ask myself, and I ask you, what are you feeding? I say to myself this all the time. Well, I'm about to make a choice. I'm saying this all the time. Lord, am I going to become more like you or less like you? And often I make the wrong choices, don't you? But I don't want to do that. I want to grow to be more like him. It's a long job with me, but I'm just so glad that he's so patient with me. You know, the older I get, the more of a sinner I realize I am. But the glory of it is, the other side of the coin, is that the more I understand and realize his patience and his joy in me and his forgiveness and his mercy upon me. Oh, thank you, Father. And that itself just ignites me in joy and thanksgiving and in closeness to him. God, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Yes, I do want to become more like you. I don't want to be doing that. I don't want to be thinking. I don't want to be reacting like that. Thanks, Andre. Thank you, mate. Don't worry. It's okay. And I guess some of you are saying the same thing. I don't want to be subject that. I don't want to be becoming that. I want to be becoming this, like him. That's what I want to become. Well, I say I've got a long way to go in this, but maybe some of you have too. So if right now you're saying, yeah, I know what that neural pathway is, but I need to let God break within 56 days. And with his help and with his spirit, I'm going to do that. We're going to work together. Or it might be, yes, Lord, I'm going to use that word again. I'm going to use my time, I'm going to use my energy, and I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to pursue Jesus more passionately. I'm going to pursue you so I might become more like you. If that's you and you simply just want to come and say, yes, Lord, I pledge that to you now. I don't want you to say anything to me or any other guys going up here. This is the time for you to come and do business with God, as I will do. as I say, whether we become more like Jesus starts with our next choice. And the choice is yours now. And victory awaits you here and now. If you want to come and do business with God, yes, Lord, that's me. Come. And we'll just bless what God's doing. So a few people just will just lay our hands on you. You don't need to tell us anything. Andre, can you guys, both come. Okay, Fran, Guy, Esther, if you're still here. This is a choice for you now. You are right this moment making a choice. No, I don't have any neural pathways that I need to reverse. Or no, my neural pathway is absolutely fine. I don't need more of Christ. I'm getting more like him now. You've just made that choice. But you make a choice and come here and say, yes, Father, I'm not perfect. But I want to be more like you. If that's you, you come. If you want to walk with the Lord and you want literally him to ignite, to change those neurons in your heart and in your mind, now is the time. Now is the time of your choice. Thank you. You guys, you come just to do business with God. You do business with him now. You tell him what's in your heart. Because it's him. Whatever is going through your resolve, whatever is going through your heart and your mind right now, that's him. And in the name of Jesus, we say to you, to Satan, we say, hands off these men and women of the Most High God. We say, hands off them. They do not belong to you. You are not part of them. And we break every single neural pathway that you have tried to hijack. We break it in the name of Jesus now. I break it in Jesus' name over you. I break it over you. I break neural pathways that have become stronger and stronger in your lives. The Lord comes and he now breaks them. Just imagine now in your hearts and your minds, these pathways just being broken. Something is happening in your brain and your will and your mind right now. It's happening. Imagination is a great interface between the Spirit of God and ourselves. So you just imagine those measurable neural pathways just getting smaller and smaller and just snapping now. Because that's what's happening. Every single energy of the brain that has come to dominate these people, and it can with us all. These people are no more sinful than any of you sitting down. And in its place, we now speak. We now speak godly neural pathways. We speak godly interaction with your brain, your mind, your body, and with the Spirit of God himself. That with the hand of God, we connect the hand of God to come right down into your brain, into your mind, right now. Let him breathe. Let the Holy Spirit breathe into your brain. Let the Holy Spirit breathe into your mind right now. Receive it. And as the Spirit comes and he breathes, so his pure holy breath, so that burns up all that is not of him, and so it puts in place all that is of Jesus, all that is Jesus. We replace spiritual idleness with spiritual passion for Jesus. We replace unreliability with reliability and commitment to Him. We replace resentment with giving, giving from His Spirit. We break every habitual sin that has come to dominate our lives. We break it. And in its place, we call down the power of the Spirit of God upon us. Let the power of God come upon us. And He takes the place of what has dominated us. The Word of God says He brings that which is out of that which is not. Let Him bring now that which is. Let Him create that which is. Let Him bring to birth new life, new neurons. Where there has been fear of launching out in faith, the Lord gives you resolve. The Lord gives you mighty faith to take a first step. And when you have, He will give you another opportunity. The Lord give you, in the name of Jesus, I give you, the Lord gives you an opportunity within the next 48 hours to serve Him, to take some stand for Him. And you take it. And when you take it, you just built a beautiful neural pathway. And the Lord will give you another opportunity within 48 hours. I guarantee it in the name of Jesus.